is.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
All right, 4 o'clock hour here on Agenda Free Friday. This is brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't, planetfitness.com. Our guest is brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital. Chris Gasper, again, Mass General as the number one research hospital in America. Mass General develops innovative treatments for complex conditions to help you get back to the life you love. Mass General, revolutionizing care from our Town Fair Tire studios. What do you make of all the NBA rumor mongering today, Gasper?
Isn't it great?
Awesome.
Don't you love, like, NBA Twitter and NBA offseason?
Oh, it's the best.
It is absolutely the best. It doesn't get any better. Especially since, like, a couple of days ago, there were basically reports out of San Antonio that, you know, Kawhi was going to sign an extension. And now it's gone completely the other way, which is great. You know,
I mean, not only do these guys have all the power, the players, they can't keep their mouths shut. Like, seriously, they all talk, or their agents talk.
I'm not sure that they want to keep their mouths shut. I mean, this is a clear case to me of... You know, Kawhi sort of letting it be known without directly telling the Spurs, like, here's the scenario, here's the situation, like, I'm not coming back. So you better do what you got to do because I'm not interested in coming back and don't even try and talk me into it. You know, I think a lot of times they get this stuff out because Chris Haynes had the report, right? Yahoo had it too. Woj had it. So it's going out from enough sources that unless it's Kawhi's crazy uncle, who if you've read that story, has basically hijacked his entire, you know, career, life. Unless it's Kawhi's crazy uncle going everybody, I would think that he wants this out there. Push him. He's trying to push it to the Lakers.
Okay, so handicap it.
Yeah.
The Lakers have a shot.
I think they do. And, you know, I've read some stuff about the Lakers being able to basically do 3 max contracts. You know, if they do that, they have to renounce all their free agents and they have to dump Luol Deng's money, which might not be easy. And dumping all their free agents would include Julius Randle. So he's restricted. He'd be gone too. But... I remember I wrote a column, I think it was last week, saying there's no clear play for LeBron. Do you think LeBron could be behind the scenes here pulling the strings?
Like, of course.
If I can get Paul George to the Lakers, if I can get Kawhi to the Lakers, and then I'm on the Lakers, then we got something.
Okay, so, but I don't know if you read this last one from Woj that said, basically...
I heard it.
Yeah, the Spurs have no interest in what the Lakers have.
Yeah.
So, but how Kawhi factors that in is that Kawhi can pee in the pool of any other offer. Celtics come in with a really good offer. Kawhi just tells the Celtics, I'm not signing there.
Yep.
I'm not signing with you, Danny. So trade for me if you want, but I'm gone in 12 months. So then Dan says, all right, well, I can't really give you much. And if Kawhi kills enough deals off across the league, maybe Popovich goes back to the Lakers and says, well, you know what? Brandon Ingram doesn't sound so bad now after all. You know, like that's how Kawhi would do it.
Yeah, I think so. And the other thing would be, look, do Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson find a way to get a third team involved? Because even though the Spurs might not be interested, the Lakers, they don't have anywhere near the ammunition of the Celtics, but they have some intriguing young players like Brandon Ingram. You know, there are probably people who still like Lonzo Ball, and I think he'll get better. And the guy's a phenomenal passer, so if you're looking for a true point guard, and I think Kyle Kuzma has a lot of value, too, as a guy that can create his own shot, and also in today's NBA, he can really stroke it and shoot the three. So they have pieces that maybe the Spurs aren't interested in, but maybe another team would be, and you could pull a third team into that deal. From a Celtics standpoint, though, because I know that's, you know, people don't really want to listen to me prattle on about the Lakers. From a Celtics standpoint, I'm not giving up Jaylen Brown for him unless there's a commitment for him to stay. I'll just ride it out. I'll have Gordon Hayward come back, see what I got, see if I can convince Kyrie. We'll play it out next year. And I'll see what the improvement... Because if Jaylen Brown and Tatum improve as much as Jaylen Brown improved from year one to year two, right? You know, in 2 to 3 for Brown and 1 to 2 for Tatum, then I'm not giving that up for 1 year of Kawhi. When I think deep down in Kawhi's heart, he wants to be on the Lakers. And it could be like a Paul George thing where it's like, okay, here's a 1 year pit stop with this team and I say all the right things while I'm there, but everybody really knows where I'm going.
Would you give up Kyrie Irving?
I would.
Who you don't have any assurances
of? I would, because it's the same thing.
Exactly.
And now you're talking about a guy who's a bigger player, right? You'd still have Rozier there. And, Rozier's not near the player that Kyrie is. But you're swapping one scenario for another scenario of I have to re-sign this guy, except for the other guy is a better player, better two-way player, and he's bigger. So if he has some situation where he's not quite as explosive or quite as quick as he used to be, well, at least he still has his length. and his size, you know, for the smaller guy. And I love Kyrie. He's one of my favorite players in the league. But in that situation with Kyrie, if he's not quite the same with the knee, then, you know, that hurts him more than Kawhi not being quite the same with the quad.
Then
what about Hayward?
See, I don't think that's a realistic possibility. Danny would not do that to Brad. He would not do that to himself. I think that would be a really bad message to pitch someone in free agency like that and then deal him in 12 months. Kyrie, they could do because they traded for him.
Sure.
You know, and so I think
that... And also because Kyrie's, you know, basically publicly out there is non-committal.
Thank you.
And
the way
which is not a crime, by the way. I mean, you know, that's Kyrie's right. I don't have a real problem with it. But if you're moving on from that guy, as opposed to Hayward, who obviously played for Stevens at Butler and... You know, Brad was a big part of that recruiting pitch, and you know he played for the Celtics for about 5 minutes, and then you let him go. That's a little different. I've listened to you all week. I know you think they'd never do it. I wouldn't put it past Danny, but I just think it's lower down the list of things they would do.
See, I don't think they'd do it. I don't think they would.
Well, what if Kawhi Leonard says, "Yeah, I'll re-sign, but you got to keep Kyrie." Like I throw Hayward into the discussion just because I don't know. He feels like a good fit to me in San Antonio. Like, you know, I think that he would work in that system. He'd work with Popovich. He'd still have a good coach. They get him for multiple years. Like, you know, it would make a lot of sense in some levels. So I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay. Let's just say Kawhi gets what he wants.
Yeah.
LeBron, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard with the Lakers. What do they do against Golden State?
I mean, I still think they lose, but I think that's a competitive team against the Lakers. I mean, we saw what Houston was able to do. This year, you know, they had their big three, and the third guy's Capella, who's good, but he's a rim runner and a shot blocker. He's not a guy that could create his own shot. I thought Paul George actually was sort of disappointing this year in OKC. Now, some people would blame the ball dominance of Russell Westbrook for that, but I didn't think he shot the ball as well as he has in the past. And I think what's interesting is, as good a player as LeBron is, and he does make his teammates better, but if you're someone who's a shot creator and you play with him, you have to be able to subjugate your own creative instincts. Like, with LeBron, like, Paul George's role literally might be, like, stand in the corner and shoot threes. You know? And it's like, does he want to do that? And how is he good at that? Would he be able to impact the game the same way that we've seen vintage Paul George impact the game if his role gets reduced to, hey, you're the third banana here, and just stand in the corner and shoot some threes like Chris Bosh and Kevin Love?
See, but I think that could work. He's a good enough shooter to be able to do that with LeBron. So, look, I mean, if the Lakers are serious about those three guys, well, that's a pretty good group.
I still don't know how Golden State would defend him. Like, that's how I sort of look at it on the other end.
Okay.
Like, I just think, no, I don't know what's left from the group and how they fill out the rest of the team, but how does Golden State match up with those three guys defensively?
Yeah, I mean...
Draymond Green's got one of them, okay.
Sure, yeah.
And then
and
what?
Thompson's a good defender, and he's 6'6", so he probably ends up on somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, he's still at a height disadvantage versus George or Kawhi Leonard. There's no question about that. You know,
and Durant. So, I mean, I don't know. That's a pretty competitive thing.
Yeah, Durant George would be good.
What do you think the Celtics... What do you think the Celtics want more than... Like, what's their ideal offseason? Do you think their ideal one is ending up with LeBron at the end of the season? Or what?
Ideal in terms of what their plans are,
off-season,
or
yep.
Ideal just ideal overall?
The ideal overall offseason. What do you think they want more than anything else?
Okay, so that's my question. What they want more than anything else? That's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, their ideal offseason would include, I think, Anthony Davis or Carl Anthony Towns, but I don't think they're going to get that. I do think that they would like a big. They'd like a little more size. You know, as much as we talk positionless basketball, and look, those guys like Davis and Towns slide right into that, but they could use a little more size up front. And if you can get one of these guys who can fit into today's NBA and be able to flash on the pick and roll and defend guys, but he's 6'11 and can also legitimately rebound. And I know Carl Anthony Towns got murdered basically in that first round series, but he's so young and he's such a talented kid and he can shoot the three. Like, that would be ideal for me because I think Davis is off the board. The other thing with the Celtics, when you always look at it, they have all these assets, right? And it's, okay, how do you want to use them? In other words, if you use them for Kawhi Leonard and suddenly Carl Anthony Towns is available or Davis is available, well, too bad because you already used them on Kawhi. So do you play that waiting game? Do you play that sort of long-term game with your assets or do you just jump at something and say, hey, Kawhi, when he's healthy, is, you know, a top 6, top 7 player in the league. we're not going to do much better than that. Yeah, he's not a center, but we'll take it. We'll cash in these assets for that.
All right, we got Casper and your thoughts on that, the rumor mongering from today. Also want Chris's thoughts on the let's just have fun Patriots. We've got to get to that as well with your calls right after these words.
Felger and Mazz, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mazz.
I love it.
You were right, Mazz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
I enjoyed it a lot today. I love playing the game of football. The game of football is fun.
You know, it's just a good process for me, and it's been fun to be out here with my teammates. I'm excited about the years.
Our players will be let off today at 2. Yeah. I'm excited about this team, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun this year.
I loved it last year, and you know I'm having a lot of fun now, so that's obviously what's most important to me.
It's all about fun, Gasper. You said Bill needs to lighten up and have some fun. Next thing you know, they're cornholing at Fenway. They got the leather helmets out, and they've covered up the digital clocks, which is a hoot nanny. If you've ever been, you know, had a work day like that, where they bring out the leather helmets and the black and white football footage. And then he gave them the rest of the week off. So this is what you've wanted, right?
What I've wanted?
Yes. You think that Bill should have lightened up?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that he should lighten up, but I don't necessarily think I was talking about cornhole and...
you want
a helmet?
You'd rather have the trampoline.
But the thing is, I mean, he's done stuff like that before. I think it's about sort of let's see when we get into the season and not, you know, grinding people down to the nub with negativity. I mean, that's all. And the funny thing is,
what's wrong with that?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you're talking to someone who defines human existence through misery, so you're right about that. But I think the funny thing is, when I'm talking about this, it's like I'm not talking about a sea change of Bill Belichick, because when you're someone like Belichick who's so accomplished and you have this reputation for being gruff, it's like Tom Coughlin. Like if you just don't tell a guy, if you just don't basically upgrade a guy for being on time to the meeting instead of 5 minutes early, everybody's like, oh, look at this. Tom Coughlin's changed. He's lighting up. It's like he barely, like he just went from being like a total jerk to normal. It's like the same thing. If you just lighten up just a little bit, the players are like, oh my God, wow, Bill. Oh man, this is great. Like, you know, and they'll buy in. So I'm not talking about suddenly making like Pete Carroll, you know, we got to have fun all the time and pumped and jacked. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you just lighten up just a little bit. And isn't he at the age anyway where most people start to mellow out just a little? Like at that age?
Yes, you start
to mellow a bit?
Okay, so do you think that's what's going on this week? Or is there anything else sort of at play?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, I think part of canceling these OTAs, and call me a conspiracy theorist, but it's just all their OTA sessions with media availability, it's one issue after another. It's the fun thing. It's Gronk. Okay, you're here. It's Tom. You're going to talk. This has been a weird offseason. And it's you know,
left out the drug suspension for their number
right.
one receiver.
Yeah, so you know, so I think part of it is okay. We've had a good OTA period in terms of accomplishing stuff. Tom's not going to be here anyway. There's only so much Jordan Matthews can be helped replacing Julian Edelman when Etling and Hoyer are throwing him the football, and this is another massive distraction. Basically, I mean, you know, Bill, you've known him for a long time, and it's one of those things where he would look at it from a very analytical view and say, what are we going to get in the long term out of having these two sessions that we haven't accomplished already versus adding fuel to the fire of these distractions?
Well, and again,
which might go away in a month. And in a month, we can say, like, we're past that. I already talked about that. You can address it in some sort of controlled environment with one reporter versus a feeding frenzy.
Also, right, what's to gain when you're having a passing camp and your quarterback won't show up for it?
Yeah.
Hard to have passing camps when the quarterback doesn't show. And what's left is, you know, a 40-year-old backup and a kid who isn't, you know, is not an NFL quarterback. So, like, that's part of it to me. If Brady were here and engaged and there every day and saying,
yeah,
guys, we got to work with these receivers, we're not there yet, they'd still be there working.
Probably. I mean, I think that's part of the calculus, right? So
definitely.
Everything you're talking about is part of that calculus in terms of what do we gain versus the exposure of it, you know? And when you start to calculate it, to your point, not having Brady there, okay, what is Jordan Matthews really going to gain that he hasn't gained from already working with Etling and Brian Hoyer up to this point?
How about Brady's point of view? Has he changed to the point, and I don't know if you were just hearing that montage there, but everyone talking about fun. It's fun, 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 got to have fun, 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 fun. They sound like the effing Red Sox. You know, it's just painful. But Brady actually uttered these words, Chris. He was asked about his relationship with Bill, right? And again, you just heard the cut, but I'll read it to you. This is the direct transcript. So he was asked with his relationship with Bill, and he says, I've been here for a long time, and I love this team. I love this organization. I love playing quarterback for him, meaning Bill. I loved it last year, and I'm having a lot of fun now. So that's obviously what's most important to me. I'm having a lot of fun now, so that's obviously what's most important to me. That's not the Tom Brady I know, and not that I know him any better than Bill, which is just as a public person. But the Brady I know, what's most important to him is winning. And if it's miserable to win, then you're miserable to win because that's the most important thing. Fun is not on his list. Fun is what happens after you win, and you can shake your ass in everyone's face. That's fun to Brady, not the fun before the winning.
Yeah,
so has he changed, or is that just a bad turn of phrase?
I do think he's changed, but I think you're reading a little too much into it. I think fun maybe for him, and I know it's the word he used, and it came up in Tom versus Time. I think that maybe that's not the most accurate description of it. I think it's more enjoyment, right? I mean, you saw in the Tom versus Time, he's talking about going through the film. He's like, I could do this all day, right? So, and the engagement is still there, but it's like, and putting in the work is, but do you enjoy it? Like, what is winning? What is putting all that into win if it's miserable at the end of the day?
Okay, so he seemed to do it the last 4 years pretty well. It seemed like he was there every single day the last 4 years. Every single offseason practice, he was there. Now he wants to have fun? Huh. So the threat to his job is gone, and he can now...
Well, that's a big
like, so, like, that frustrates me. Like I understand why
that frustrates you, but here's
the... I hate the way that times out. I wish he had done this last year when they still had Garoppolo, and then we could all say, well, looks like Tom's looking to the next thing in his life and isn't as fully committed, which is great. That's his right, and he should, as a 41-year-old man. He should be looking at some other things. We'll go with the kid. Tom can go do his thing somewhere else, and everybody's a winner.
Yeah.
But he waits until after Garoppolo's gone, and now they have no quarterback, and he's pulling this crap? That's the problem.
Well, I mean, yeah, from the Patriots standpoint, it is the problem.
Yes.
But look at it from Tom's standpoint, right? I have the leverage now. I've seen how you've operated for 18 years with the leverage. My turn. I have it.
I'm
there's
rooting
no
for the team over
you.
Tom. I don't care
and
about
Tom. And that's
Tom.
Fine. I'm just saying, if you look at, like, there's not really anything that he's doing in terms of exercising the leverage that the Patriots haven't done and that Bill hasn't done over the years.
Fair enough.
So, and by the way, who handed him the leverage?
Yeah, Kraft.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, if you want to really point the finger, that's where you have to point it. But he knows he has the leverage now. The kid's gone. Do you think he's afraid of Danny Etling and Brian Hoyer?
I just thought, Chris, that, you know, stupid me for buying his crap.
No, you thought Brady had value.
Stupid me for believing Tom when he said, I want to play to my mid-40s and I've given up my life. Will you give up yours? And this is all I care about. And the only thing I care about is winning. Stupid me for believing all that stuff. I was gullible. Dumb.
No, you were gullible. And look, but I also think the worst part of it is that Kraft was gullible, or even if he wasn't, maybe worse, he put the loyalty first. Like, that one blows me away. And I'm sorry, Chris, I hear you on the whole leverage thing.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, in that league, the teams have the leverage. The owners and the teams have the leverage.
Brady's got some leverage right now. I'm sorry.
No, he does now.
He does.
And that's why I think it's not all about fun. You know, he's saying that, but I think part of it is trying to leverage to get the situation the way he wants it. Whether that has to do with Guerrero or you know, Bill's treatment of him, he knows he has that. Now, look, you can have leverage and push it too far, and you can make an argument that he's doing that or has done that, but I don't think it's all like the idea that he doesn't care about football anymore or that he's not... Like, when he showed up for that mandatory minicamp, did anybody look like, oh, this is a guy who's been sitting around eating Cheetos and hasn't worked out or put anything into the playbook or isn't ready to go?
No, he went through the motions. Yeah, Zoe said today it was the first time he's ever seen Tom Brady just punch a clock.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, Zoe knows better than I do because he played the position in the NFL. That wasn't my impression, and that's not. I haven't read that from anybody else.
Because you're the president of the Boohoo Brady crew. Like, it's
no, but I'm serious. So I'm just curious. I mean, were there reporters who were there who've written that Brady was just punching the clock?
Not that I know of.
I mean, I haven't seen a lot of reports that people looked out there and said, and then the players that were out there, the defensive guys and the offensive guys, the quotes I read were saying that the intensity went up a notch because Tom was out there.
Well, of course it's going to go up from Danny Etling. Like, yes, I would hope that it looks a little different with Brady out there versus Brian Hoyer and Danny Etling. Yep, it did. It went up from there. So great. We've got that going for us. I all this stuff that Brady's doing, I don't begrudge. I just wish he had done it last year. And then the organization can make a decision on a 40-year-old who's doing things this way versus the 25-year-old kid who we like and looks like he might be ready. And then we can decide versus Brady selling what feels like a bill of goods now about playing to 45 and giving up his life and this is all that I care about and winning's the only thing. And then turning to something different after the kid's gone. That's That's the problem.
Let's see where it's at when they get to, again, because I've told you guys this. I think it's like 3 weeks in a row I've said this because we've talked about this, right? This is the time of year when the stakes are low and nobody really has to put anything on the table, right? I mean, this is a low-stress time of year in the NFL. Let's see what it's like when it gets to training camp and it really matters and it really counts. And if he doesn't look good and he doesn't play well during the regular season, then you know what? You guys were right and I was wrong. It's that simple.
We'll see.
Yeah, listen, I
but as of right now, he's the reigning MVP.
Yeah, who lost the Super Bowl?
Oh, he lost it?
No,
really?
No. The coach lost the Super Bowl. The coach lost the Super Bowl.
I'm just telling you, he wore the jersey, didn't he? I mean, they lost the Super Bowl. So now the MVP means more than the Super Bowl?
How did that game end?
No, nobody said that.
Jimmy,
I don't know where you're getting that from.
Sometimes I need the producer to help me out with what, because I forget details. How did that game end?
Brady fumbled.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yes.
Let me get back out here. Because this a-hole's defense failed us again.
What was it, 8 straight drives this quarter?
Yeah.
Not the last one.
Let me do it all.
All 5 in the second half?
Because God forbid if I wasn't here, we would have lost this effing game by 50
points. Well, but hold on.
You should have kept Garoppolo.
I guess that was also a Super Bowl year where Tom Brady showed up every day.
I guess he should have long snapped and also kicked field goals as well.
Now he's not showing up at all. So let's see.
I don't know. Hold on to the ball when you're driving down the field trying to win the game. Seems pretty simple to me.
And that's when he put in all the work.
He puts it on the friggin' ground.
That's when he was there every day.
Should have kept Jimmy G.
Frickin' quarterback.
I'm sorry, was he covering Zach Ertz? I missed that part.
Now he's not there at all.
You had the guy here.
All right,
I promise. And by the way, don't drop a pass to yourself.
Your phones on the Celtics stuff and this stuff right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mazz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To the phones, as promised, with Chris Gasper in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Tyler in Rhode Island on Kyrie. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, guys. You guys were talking earlier about the Celtics' perfect offseason, and I feel like they're going to make of it what they can. They have three big offers big players on the table. They got Kawhi, Kyrie, and LeBron. And they have to really look towards the future. I think that they should probably – I like the LeBron route where hopefully they can, like, gain a big man. But I don't think they should really go after Kawhi because Kawhi right now is going to be a free agent next year. And if they keep Kyrie and Kawhi and they both decide to leave next year, I just don't think that's a good look for the Celtics.
No, it would be a horrible look for the Celtics. Do you still think, Chris, that LeBron is a consideration, a realistic consideration?
I mean, I think it's a realistic consideration. I don't think he'll land here, though. You know, I think that it – even though it would – If the objective for both sides was let's beat Golden State this year, then it would make the most sense for them to join up. But I think that ultimately they both have other things. You know, for LeBron, whether it's the lure of L.A. and his post-playing career and that Spring Hill Entertainment thing he has going on. For the Celtics, I just think that they want to have a longer window here to contend. And if you go with LeBron, I think you'd be a better team next year. There's no question.
Andrew,
but you're sacrificing part of that.
Andrew in Pittsfield, waiting patiently on the Patriots. Thanks for hanging on, Andrew. What do you got?
So, a quick theory about possibly why Kraft has such an allegiance to Brady. Could it be that there's been under-the-cap transactions from Kraft going to Brady for years, given, you know, Brady's low salary cap and the fact that he lives next door to Kraft?
No, wait a minute. You're saying that Robert would have helped him get a land deal in Brookline? Or maybe... I don't know. There's some sort of lease payment there, right, from the Guerrero Center at Patriot Place. So you're not implying that Bill and Brady would have done each other favors like that, are you?
I'm implying that Kraft could have done Brady favors to keep the cap number low.
I'm being sarcastic, yes.
Give Belichick more room to work with. And essentially, he trusts Brady in doing that. And if he sided with Belichick in any way, you know, it could sabotage what he and Brady have had going for years.
So, Andrew, I'm being sarcastic. The cap violation, I'm going to leave that to the side. Like, I don't even really care. But Brady and Kraft are in business together. I mean, they are. They just are. I think Kraft is an investor in Guerrero. If not, some of Kraft's really close confidants are. I know, was it Boston Magazine? Well, one of these reports on Guerrero listed some of his investors. And if it wasn't Kraft, it was, I know guys who are really close to Kraft who did invest. And, well, if nothing else, they do lease space in Patriot Place, which goes to the Kraft. So they are in business together.
See, to me, ultimately, I don't care if it's business or it's just personal loyalty. Either way, it's the wrong decision. Like,
The wrong reason.
Yeah, the wrong reason, right. The wrong reason. Like, to me, given what they've always done, they've always made decisions based on the long-term success of the franchise. That's what they've done. Wrong decision. Like, and to me, beyond that, then you undercut your coach in the process. Like, you, it didn't just cost you Garoppolo potentially. It may have also cost you Bill.
Yeah, and I think they looked into that, and obviously, you know, they made that choice. And I think if Tom ends up wanting a new contract here, they got to get something done. I think it will get done. I think they'll give it to him.
Okay, where is that, by the way? What's taking that so long?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, it seems like something they should be able to do relatively quickly, you know.
And all this stuff about fun, we want to have fun. I'm having fun. That's the most important thing. And Gronkowski carrying on about fun. Maybe they also just want to get paid. And usually when you pay someone, they sort of shut up about everything else. So maybe there's that. You know, that's at play, too.
I don't think that's a big one for Brady. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think, you know, new contract, but I don't think that's what the real holdup is.
I mean, remember,
I still think it's Guerrero.
I think it's on the list of things where he says he's not appreciated. I think the money's a part of that, you know, equation. Like, it's something like this. After all the money I've given back to them, and all these quarterbacks making all this money out there, they don't even approach me about giving a raise. Like, I've got to fight tooth and nail for my money.
Well, what was that?
And not that he needs the money, but he wants that. He wants to know that the Patriots are going to make that gesture to him to repay him and show their appreciation. And I think that is important.
The courtesy of it.
Yes.
Yeah, but what about that comment Kraft made not too long ago about, you know, I think both sides are comfortable with where the contract is at. So unless that changes, we're not doing anything. Like, if I'm Kraft, after the solid I just did Brady by throwing the other guy out of town, you're not getting another contract too, pal. How much power do you want?
Here's Dean in Shrewsbury on the Celts. Hi, Dean.
I got to back up Gasper. I'm not trading 6 years of Jalen control for 1 year of Leonard. I'd trade Kyrie for Leonard straight up. I think that would be fair.
What if Kawhi signs? What if Kawhi commits and signs?
I would have to think about it. It'd be close. I might do it if
it's close.
If Kawhi
signs. That's what makes it good. And I know you are the president of the Jalen Brown fan club, Chris.
Yeah, I am.
If Kawhi Leonard signs, like Kevin Garnett did, he came here and agreed to an extension and da-da-da. If Kawhi did that, would you trade Jalen Brown for Kawhi Leonard?
Yes.
Me too.
You'd have to, right?
Yes, I would do it. I would do it. It'd be painful, but I would do it. But because now, you know you're going to have multiple opportunities with him. Now, there's still a risk because, again, you haven't seen him, you know, since the quad. I'm assuming that he's still going to be the same Kawhi Leonard. But if I can make that assumption, yeah, even though I'm president of the Jalen Brown fan club and I think it can be really special, I would reluctantly make that move.
Keith and Woburn, go ahead, Keith. On Brady, what do you got?
Well, first of all, not only do I get your sarcasm, I actually appreciate it. And as far as Bill, you can't ask for 110% from you guys when you don't give 110% back. So constant, like, time after time after time.
That word. So if you're just catching up on the delay, he says Bill can't ask for 110% from his players when he doesn't give 110%. Is that fair? Do you think some players feel that way?
Yes, some players definitely feel that way. Now, look, we can always say follow the chain of command, but for a guy who builds his whole platform on focus on winning, do what's good for the team, put the team first, focus, block out the noise. It's hard to not look at the Butler decision and feel like Bill broke his own rule.
Yeah, it comes off as hypocritical. I mean, again, the whole thing is, you know, subjugate your ego, do whatever in the best interest of the team. It's not about you and all this stuff. And then you look at that and you say, well, these players sort of look and say, well, how is this in the best interest of the team?
I told you, I felt the same way, and this goes back a ways now, in that Football Life documentary when Belichick stood up in front of the room after the 4th-and-2 decision, and he said, you know, look, I'm not going to apologize for trying to win a game. I'm saying to myself, if I'm a player, and I heard him say that, I would say, you've got to be kidding me. After all the crap you feed us and you about, you know, team first, and then all of a sudden you make a decision like that and you can't own up to it? I would just go, dude, you just lost me.
Right, I know, it's not fair, but it's not a two-way street. It's just not the way that works.
You asked me whether some players would look at it that way. My answer is yes. Some players would look at it that way.
But you know what's different about it? And you're right. You know, Bill's not necessarily accountable to the players. The players are accountable to Bill. But you know the one thing that really changes it? And this is sort of what Maz is talking about with the 4th-and-2 thing. It's winning. It's like when you do something to undercut the idea that we're this is all about winning. Like, that's, everybody agrees. Okay, that's the sacred thing. That's why we sacrifice. That's why we let us... That's why we let you rip us all the time. But then when you go and do something where it seems like, okay, this isn't about winning and there's some sort of ulterior motive, you've kind of broken that compact there. And it's not an accountability thing, but I think that's kind of the one sacred rule. And in Bill's mind, he might have been thinking in the Super Bowl, I am giving us the best chance to win. But when the players don't feel that way and they don't get any sort of explanation at all after the fact, then you end up with them sort of questioning the whole thing.
I mean, look, you know where I stand on this whole thing. Okay, like, to me, ultimately, I think Brady's acting like a pain in the ass. I think Brady's acting like a two-year-old. But the thing in the Super Bowl, I mean, you know, the problem is that everybody's sort of thrown this story into one big pile. And they're separate stories. Bill in the Super Bowl acted like a donkey.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
These players, they worked harder than any team I've ever coached. They came to work every day, and there were no days off. No days off. No days off. No days off. Go Pats!
Our players will be let off today at 2.
Yeah, things have changed. Things have changed down at Gillette. And Murray was just a little asleep at the wheel there. He's supposed to read time and temperature or whatever there. The hourly sponsor, and he ends up going to, no, headlines. No, headline. To which I would say, why bother doing headlines if you're going to lead your headlines with Jimmy Garoppolo's practice report? Feels like this is an agenda-free Friday. Never mind the updates, which is just supposed to be news. Never mind your personal agenda against Jimmy Garoppolo.
I thought that was newsworthy.
Otherwise known as the Italian Osweiler.
The Italian Osweiler. No agenda there.
I thought that that was newsworthy, you know, because of the Patriot connection. And it's a little thin on news today. So, you know, I was like, I thought I would sprinkle
it. A little thin on news?
Think of, what do we have here? Rumors about Kawhi Leonard, who's never going to come here. Some World Cup scores. So I thought I'd add a little spice with the Jimmy Garoppolo news.
No, you just wanted to shove it down my throat.
Exactly. That too.
Agenda.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. I know you.
4 false start penalties in a row.
Yeah. How come he didn't include the part about him holding everybody back after practice to make sure they got it right?
Why don't you just fit my agenda?
Well, where do you think he learned that? Yeah, Brady. On his own?
Brady.
Okay. Yeah. Jimmy just came up with that one.
The artist
came out of Eastern Illinois doing that.
The artist formerly known as Brady.
Correct, yeah.
The guy that used to put in the work.
People change, Felgi. If anybody knows that, it's you. You're not the same guy who was on the boat with Bill. You moved on. You became a different person. Well, it happens over the years.
The Brady of old.
You're still very successful. It's worked out for you.
Who do you think moved on? Who do you think moved on in that scenario? I'm just saying. You think that was me that moved on?
No, I think Bill did.
Yeah, something would tell me that that's where that started.
I wouldn't put it past you. You know, you saw that it was maybe going the other way. It was a little more lucrative.
Yeah.
You're a smart guy.
Yeah, okay.
Come on.
So,
Murray, keep doing what you're doing. I like your agenda-filled updates.
So you admit that Brady's changed. That's fine.
Yes, he's definitely changed.
So any change from what he's been is not good news, you understand. Is he changed for the better or the worse? Anything that's not what he's done over the last 18 years, I would consider a bad change. I would consider that a bad change. And Jim Murray points the finger directly at not Gazelle, but Giselle as the reason. That was his opening take. Does he have any? You just want to restate it for Chris and see what he feels about it?
Well, it was because he passed along the article. You know, there was an accompanying article that went along with that Vogue 73 questions video that we played some audio from yesterday. But the article is titled, Can Giselle Save the Planet? Can Giselle Save the Planet? Like, it's this.
No, but she can ruin the Patriots.
No, it's just. It's that. And you read this thing, and in terms of, you know, this enlightened Tom Brady that we've got here for the last few years, it all just reeks of that and how she's trying to save the world. Like, just stay in your lane, lady. You were born with good genetics. You're a model. Like, this kind of thing drives me nuts. And now it's happening with Brady. As much as I love him as a football player, and he's all I ever wanted to root for, what he's become is just a cipher for her and all her madness and the ridiculousness of love. Like, oh, we have to be so positive and surrounded by positivity. She's infected his brain, and this is why he's no longer the consummate professional and the perfect soldier for Belichick. It's because of her.
The whole thing about positivity, it's so true. It's like Brady was always willing to do whatever it took to win. And in Bill's world, that is a negative, challenging environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so Brady was always willing to, he never cared about fun or positivity when he's winning with Bill. Now all of a sudden, fun is the most important thing, and the positivity. I'm a positive person. It's like, wow.
But that was all in the Wickersham story. Ugh. I mean, once again, vindication for Wickersham. I mean, he had that in that story, that Bill's style of coaching had begun to grate on Tom, and that You know, Tom said it a number of times. How many times at the podium has he said, you know, I'm really a positive person.
Oh, yeah.
I don't deal with negativity.
Oh,
and one of his better attributes was his own ruthlessness, like the same thing that drove Michael Jordan. I bet he looks himself in the mirror now because he's just brainwashed by this one, thinking, is that really the right way to go through life? Being so cold? Is winning really the only thing? Yes! Yeah, it should be the only thing. You're a football player. That's who you are.
How about some of these Giselle quotes?
Oh, some of the
Come
quotes
on.
From this thing.
Come on, Jim, do it.
So if you wonder why, like, she doesn't want him playing football. We know about this. She hates it. It's a boys' game, a stupid game. Here's the quote, and I'll read
Giselle.
It. Yeah, Giselle. My husband is 40. Most of the guys playing with him are 20. The girlfriends are probably 19 with different interests. The whores. I just added that to my own ad lib. She says that laughing.
There is some ad-lib in here, so there's your generic qualifier. You do what you have to do, Murray.
I go to the games with the kids every Sunday so that Tom feels we're here for him. What a pain in my ass. There's other things I could be doing. I could be raising the bees. I could be taking the kids outside. I could be teaching the world to recycle. But instead, I have to go to this stupid American football. Real football is played on the pitch with one ball and handsome Portuguese men. So that's what she goes on to say. I go to the games with the kids every Sunday so that Tom feels we're here for him, and that's the extent of what I know about football. This is the other kicker, too. She's close to several mothers at her children's school, where she has also been involved in implementing a meditation program. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of kickback there in terms of, like, people that wouldn't want to do that. You have all these, you know, rich trophy wife moms in that area that probably come in and say, oh, my God, Giselle's here. Oh, my God, she wants us to do what? She wants little Logan to meditate? Oh, fine. Fine, that's good for them, and maybe we'll get to hang with them, too. Maybe we'll get to go over to their house, too, in Brookline. We'll get to hang with the Bradys. Whatever she wants to do. I don't care if it might brainwash them, but if little Logan has to meditate so I can get close to Giselle, let's do it. Ugh. God, the whole thing reeks of how insufferable that, but, you know, you see it with Brady too, like he is just an unrelatable weirdo now. It drives me crazy. Some of his television appearances. He's gonna be on Oprah this Sunday. No one I ever rooted for in my life should ever have anything to do with Oprah Winfrey. But instead, he's sitting down with her Sunday for, yeah, Super Soul Sunday.
Yeah, it's the Super Soul.
It makes me sick. It really, as much as I want to defend him, I'm hashtag Team Brady. I want him to bury Belichick. I want him to be the one that wins here. But you're hanging with Oprah? You're doing these kind of things? You're like football Tom Cruise? Like, it's tough. It's really tough for me.
That's brilliant.
Seriously, football Tom Cruise, that's exactly what he is.
So I asked you for your reaction to that. That was his opening take in all its glory.
That's fantastic. I mean, I have to be honest. I mean, just him doing the Giselle voice.
But you read this thing. You sent it to me. You know that she's an influence.
Yeah, I do. No, I mean, right? I mean, I definitely think that's been part of the influence in terms of not wanting to deal with the negativity. And here's what I ultimately think with Tom. I think he's in, and no one's going to feel bad for Tom Brady ever, but he's in a tough spot because I think on the one hand at work, he has a guy that looks at it and says, work is life. It's all about work. Football is everything, right? And then he goes home to somebody who really has no use for football, no use for sort of negativity, and is like, we should be done with this. We should be moving on and saving the planet and doing all these other things. And he's trying to balance these two alpha personalities in the middle. And I think he's losing himself somewhere in there.
No question. You know, he bought in. It's the famous Vince Lombardi line, and Bills, you know, picked it up too. I don't know if it goes exactly like it used to, but God, family, and the Green Bay Packers. That's it. And if those aren't in your top three, you can order them how you want. But if those aren't in your top three, then you're not going to make it here, right? God, family, and the New England Patriots. Winning, your family, that's it. And your God, right? Okay, so like that's a personal thing too. But if there's anything before winning, God, or your family, then you're not a Patriot. You're not going to make it here. We don't care about your fun. We don't care about your enjoyment. We sure as hell don't care about your business or your brand. And so if any of those things come into the big three, the Holy Trinity, God, family, and the Green Bay Packers, forget about it. And now Tom is, there's stuff in that top three that ain't God, family, and the New England Patriots.
And look, you read this thing. Look, can we all admit, like, in any relationship, especially for those of you married, like, your gal's the boss. Ladies, you're in charge. You're the boss.
To a point.
Yeah, but this, like,
I still have to go to work.
Yeah, but this, you read this thing, it's like, oh, she's the boss. Like, I kind of knew that anyway, and I still had my theory that that Tom was showing up super early last year because it was just his respite. It was his time to get the hell away from all of it.
From the bees?
Yeah, from all of it. But this thing, like...
The bees.
And this is where you've said, you know, even when you were covering them, Mike, like, he wanted to be a superstar. He wanted to be a celebrity. I think that's kind of tripped him up now, so much so that, like, some of this, it sounds like he's an accessory to Giselle. Like, she shows up to these other things. She still has this life in the world of fashion, and, you know, she's getting interviewed by Vogue and that kind of world. Like, Brady's around like he's another pair of Jimmy Choo's. He's just like a fancy accessory. Just in the background, like, can I come? Can I maybe meet... Oh, who's going to be there? Oh, can I maybe hang out with some of these famous fashion people, too?
Murray's got it so right. That's exactly what he comes off as. He comes off as an accessory. He comes off as a black jacket with gold trim. That's what he comes off as. And he comes off as her little boy toy that she brings with him to the Met Gala.
You mean I get to meet both Dolce and Gabbana? Oh, yeah, take me there. The guy used to hang at the rack and slug beers. And, like, chase ass. Like, and I get it. Like, y'all got to get older and you mature. It's just he's become such an unrelatable weirdo now. Oh, God. I like the occasional fancy clothes. Believe me, I wish I could buy an $8,000 jacket. But, man, it's oh, who's going to be there? Oh, can we take with the Met Gala? Oh, sure, I'll go. Yeah, sure. Wherever you need me to be. How do you want me to dress? You want me to put my hair like this, too? You want me to part it so it looks like a little child's haircut? All right, G. Whatever you need. Oh.
That's just tremendous. More of that tomorrow on Gasper and Murray?
Yeah, 11 to 2. A lot more of that. Yeah, a lot of
yeah,
more.
I feel like there'll be a lot more of
I'll
that
get, I'll
tomorrow.
Get sweaty talking about this, and Chris can push away from the table so I look like the misogynist a-hole.
Yeah, I just it's entertaining. You know, I'll just be laughing and throwing in my opinion. I'm trying to bring him back down to earth, but no, it's good. Sometimes you got to just let Jim go, as you guys know.
Excellent. Do we still have the Celtics at noon?
Yes. Yeah, a couple of more weeks. We'll wrap up that up in a couple of weeks after the draft.
Even though Jim tried to kill it 2 weeks ago.
He's a lot. Hey. This is the wrong time.
No,
this
I know.
This is when you need it more than ever.
Stuff's starting to bubble.
Because the crap is flying in the NBA, and we've got that on the board with Agenda 3 Free Friday. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Good to see you guys.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.